Welcome to the podcast of Trinity Church London. You're listening to a message given on a Sunday morning. If you'd like to know more about us and the life of the church, please visit trinitychurchlondon.com.
If you ask someone, how are you doing? Like, what are you almost guaranteed to come back at you? Busy, yeah? It's already happened this morning. I asked someone how they are. I'm busy. And we feel it. We are busy and we feel busy. And there are a whole bunch of reasons why. Let me just assess a few. Our phones, right? If you've got your phone in your pocket, basically you are at your office desk because you've got the emails, your boss could call, like things are flicking up. Your work is with you wherever you go. Social media now is pressing. The number of people that we are called to stay in contact with is unparalleled in human history. Like the number of people with contacts all around the world, and we have to kind of somehow, and people get upset if you haven't replied within a day. Are you okay? I'm fine. There's this whole social network that we're embedded in. London life does not help rest. Amen. It is big. The commutes are long. Even if you are having a slow day, you feel busy inside because like life just revs your inner life up, and it can grind you down. Work expectations. There was a day, long, long, long ago, in a land far, far, far away, when a 9 to 5 actually meant 9 to 5, often with a leisurely lunch break in the middle. You even had a lunch break. Those days used to exist. And do they exist today? Like, we long for those days of just regular, nice working life. Like, work-life balance in London is like out the window, right? Does it even exist? So how do you find rest? These are problems. It is hard to find Sabbath rest in London. But what's out there is not actually the biggest problem that we face. The biggest problem, if we're going to find Sabbath rest, is what's in our hearts, not what's out there. It's a restless heart, not an overburdened schedule, that is going to lead us into a place of breakdown and losing of Sabbath. For myself, I graduated in 2005, and I went straight into Christian work. And it has its benefits. One of the benefits is that when you have an unhealthy attitude towards work, it gets covered up. Because no one bothers you if you're doing church stuff, because it all looks fine. So if you're overworking and wrong attitudes and sinful attitudes towards work, well, if you're doing Christian stuff, actually no one minds and it goes unnoticed. And I look back now, and I left university with all these, a restless heart with desires that were somewhat pointed in the right direction, but were also somewhat self-serving. I had an idea of what success in life looked like. A church, what it was going to look like, my ministry, my leadership, my preaching. What in 30, 40 years' time, what would success look like? And what did that lead me to do? Overwork. I had this idea that the best thing to do was to work hard. Like, I had this mantra. Even it got flagged up recently because I went to Australia and I got back from an 11-day trip, and Mike Irvin, who I was working with out there, he left this like note, and in the middle of it he said, Daniel, something like, yes, he works hard. And I was like, that's all I need to hear. I was like, that was it. All the rest, like, I'd forgotten about it. The thing I remembered, Daniel works hard. Like, ego ticks. For whatever reason, that's just like inbuilt. Like, I feel validated because I worked hard. And what that meant is, over the years, I never really Sabbathed. I probably even talked about Sabbath rest. But my heart was so restless to continue to validate myself through hard work and trying to achieve some kind of ministry success, that even when I was taking days off, my heart was still running. And if you keep doing that long enough, it will lead to a place of destruction and a lack of life. And so I think it was like, I was trying to remember, 2015 or so, I ended up in hospital with pneumonia because basically I worked and worked. I couldn't cancel a meeting. I physically struggled to count. I hate it. Like, something would die if I had to do that because my heart had no Sabbath rest. Why do I say all this? Unless we sort our heart out, talking about the practicals of having a Sabbath day is neither here nor there. We have to have a heart that has found Christ, and then, and only then, when we can talk about the practicals. Does that make sense? Let me just throw out some things that might resonate with you, because we all have underlying motivations that will leave us restless. You might want to achieve something in life. There is a goal that you've got, and you think, until I get that goal, I'm not stopping. And you says, you just churns and churns and churns, even when you're on holiday. You want to experience or do something. You want to be in a particular type of role. You've got a picture of yourself doing something, and you can't stop. Your heart will not rest until you get that. Or you're a people pleaser. You always have to say yes to people and say get their approval, which means you're always overcommitted because you never want to let anyone down. Suddenly you've got 15 people all wanting something from you and you struggle to say no to anything. And so you understand. You want to feel secure. So you want to have a certain amount of money in the bank account. You want a lifestyle that's like this. And so you can't rest until that feeling of security. Or being perfect. How many people fidget around their house and their life and their work and their relationships, constantly going over things because they want life to feel perfect. And there's always a fly in the ointment. And you're always trying to flick the fly out of the ointment of your life. And it never leaves because it just zzzz back in the ointment again. But you're trying to, like, you can't because you want everything perfect. And so you never just rest. Whoa. I was, even as I was preparing this sermon, the irony of all of this, like finding myself, I couldn't even put the sermon down. And I realized why. Like, I knew the irony. I've got some maturity now to realize, like, why couldn't I put this sermon to rest and just sleep? Because I wanted this thing, I wanted to do well. I want you to like it. I want you to go away. That was a great sermon. I'm so blessed by that sermon. I was using this moment, a spiritual holy moment, to serve me. I want to do something where you will say, thanks, that was great. You worked really hard. That would really, like, oh, you must have worked hard on that one. Thanks for once. But you're like, oh. And then I realized, oh no, I'm using this for myself now. And so I couldn't rest. I have to remind myself, okay, I'm using this to serve. It's not for me. So I need Christ. I need to find rest for my heart so I can actually be a blessing and not just make this whole thing. Does that make sense? So we need rest for our heart. So what I want to do is talk about our heart first and then Sabbath practice. A Sabbath heart and a Sabbath practice. And my prayer and our prayer as we come and break bread together is, as we break bread, we come to find Christ, and there is something in our heart that starts to find green pastures. That we be like a weaned child with its mother, in need of nothing but the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I won't want anymore. I just rest with him. I'll be with him. Amen. May it be so, Lord. So the first thing, a Sabbath heart. To understand this, we have to go back to Genesis. Fear not. I know what the time is already, but fear not. Genesis. To understand Sabbath, we have to understand the God of the Sabbath. And when we find God in Genesis 1, what do we find him doing? The very first week, he is working. For 6 days, the Lord works. He's forming, he's creating, he's filling. He is at work morning and evening. And at the end of every day, we're told that he looks at what he's done and he says, this is good. Like he enjoys the work that he's done. And then on the sixth day, when he makes us, Adam and Eve, and all that that represents in us, when he makes humanity, made his image, he says, this is very good. And on the seventh day, we're told this in Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from his work that he had done in creation. Now, why did God rest? God didn't get to Saturday night and be like, whoo, I need a rest. I am done. Like, he wasn't on the edge of a breakdown. He wasn't trying to maximize efficiency because he just watched a 10-minute YouTube video on efficiency and productivity, and actually rest is great. And actually, if you do this, you don't. Like, he wasn't thinking about that. He is the fountain of all things. He is the source of all life. He doesn't need to stop. And yet God chooses in this moment to stop, which is what Sabbath, Shabbat literally means, just to cease, just to stop. He stops and he enjoys what he has done. It's interesting because Hebrew scholars will point out in the seventh day something unusual happens when Moses records this. Every other day, at the end of the day, he says morning and evening, there was day, this is good. Morning and evening, morning and evening. And on the seventh day, Moses doesn't talk about any morning or evening. With this indication that this seventh day, this God rest, is something that is to be carried through, to be enjoyed beyond just this day, that we are to enter into. So the rest that God has, the enjoyment that he has, what he is doing with his creation, we are called to enter into. So read later Hebrews chapter 4. We are called to enter into this Sabbath rest with God that carries on. God, we know, sits in the heavens. He is not stressing, fretting. He works from a place of rest. His heart is at peace. He loves and enjoys, and he declares over us, very good. And yet what we do in our stupidity is walk away from this blessing of our God saying very good over us, and we find ourselves out in the wilderness anxiously trying to find approval, to justify ourselves, to try and find meaning in our own. If I do this, if I get this career, this money, this house, this life, whatever it might be, these hobbies, then I'll feel something inside. I'll feel approved. I'll feel blessing. I feel like I'm worth something. I'm important. And yet we're struggling all the time to find this. So God gives us this gift in the Ten Commandments of a Sabbath. He says, I want you to do what I did. Like one day in seven, I want you to take a rest. Just stop. In a sense, he's telling us, dethrone yourself from life. Because when you're constantly working, you are basically saying to yourself and others that life, if I stop, like life falls apart. If I stop tinkering and doing and organizing, then things aren't going to happen properly. We are treating ourselves like God. And God says, you need to know me and my life and my presence. So would you dethrone yourself for one day and recognize that I sustain life, that I'm the giver of life? The Jewish tradition then organized 39 different categories of types of work. Just the categories. Not the laws, just the categories of types of work you were and weren't allowed to do. Which is why when Jesus was walking through a field and he picked some grains from the field, for you and I, you might think that's like innocuous. You know, you do that anytime, just pick some grains, eat them. But there were some of the Jewish leaders following Jesus, I imagine like, you know, a spiritual Ofsted report, like always following Jesus. Imagine living like Jesus, like these guys are always behind you, like trying to find something you're doing wrong. And they see Jesus and he picks this grain, which for them was outlawed on the Sabbath, walking through these fields with his friends, hungry on a Saturday. They say, you're not supposed to be doing that. What does Jesus say? He says, you don't really understand the purpose of the day that was given to us. He refers back to David, something they always say, you don't even know the scriptures. Like he goes for the jugular. David himself on the Sabbath did something that you think is unlawful. And then he says these two brilliant statements. He says in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This day was given as a gift to us as our servant. We are not here to uphold a day. Like this day needs some special kind of upholding and honoring. No, this day was a gift to serve us. Amen. And then he says this profound statement, the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. He said, you don't understand. I am the God of Genesis 2 who rested over the first Sabbath. I'm the God of this Sabbath. I'm the Lord of this Sabbath. I look after this Sabbath. Sabbath rest was to be found in me, as Jackie so eloquently said. The commandment given in the Ten Commandments was a provisional one, not a moral law, a provisional one that pointed us forward to Jesus Christ, the God of Sabbath, the one who rested. The one who came from the heavens, from his throne, place of rest, into the earth and lived every day out of a place of rest, in our place of anxiety and struggle. And Jesus Christ worked on our behalf to find the approval that we so desperately crave in life. If we're honest, we crave approval. And he worked righteousness for us, so that in Christ and in his flesh he might become sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so when we see Christ going to the cross, we find a man who is the Lord of the Sabbath taking on the work of righteousness on himself, living in our anxious place and finding himself restless, wrestling, writhing on this cross so that he might finish the work for us. So that he can declare with his final words over you and I, it's finished. Hallelujah. Amen. You can stop working. Let your restless heart rest. Amen. The Father says, very good over your life. Stop trying to use this for yourself. Stop trying to find the approval. It's already come. I've given it to you in my death and in my resurrection. Amen. So we find rest in him. One of the best, most famous maybe, examples of this is a man called Eric Liddell, which many of you will know. Anyone know Eric Liddell? Like, if you're English, you probably know him, because it's an old English film called Chariots of Fire. Anyway, if you don't know Eric Liddell, let me just share this. He is a man who found rest for his heart. He was an English sprinter. Not many of those around these days, but back in the day, we used to have English sprinters. And in 1924, he was on to win the gold at the Paris Olympics in the 100 meters dash, you know, sprint. And he said this famous line. He said, I know God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. If you watch videos of him, he had a very funny run. He used to run but he felt the Lord's pleasure. When he ran, he had this passion to be a missionary in China. But he also knew, when I run, I just sense God's very good over my life. And so he was training for the 1924 Olympics, eyes on this, like, it's the blue ribbon event, right? The 100 meter dash. And he found out that, I can't remember whether one of the heats or the final, I think it was one of the heats going to be on the Sunday. And so on his conscience, he thought, I can't race, I can't work on my Sabbath. And so basically last minute, he switched events. Imagine this, working, striving, training for years to get to this place, to be the favorite. And he says, I'm not going to race because that on my conscience would be on my Sabbath. And so he switched events and ran the 400 meters. The amazing thing is he got gold in the 400 meters last minute. He won a gold medal. Like a crowning jewel of the nation, celebrated. He came from a family with money. He had status in this nation. And yet what did he do after the Paris Olympics? A celebrated athlete, he left it all to one side and went into obscurity in China to be a missionary, where he died at the age of 42 in a Japanese internment camp, 6 months before the war finished. That was his life. Because he said, I'll work all my life, but if at the last minute that gets taken from me, I didn't need that for my heart, because I found Sabbath rest already. I can give or take a gold medal. It's fine. I'm here to serve. And in the film, there's this amazing moment where Harold Abrahams, who was his English teammate, did winning the 100 meters. He said this in the film, whether he said this in real life, not sure, but this is what he said. A man who was struggling to find Sabbath rest. He said, and now in 1 hour's time, I will be out there again. I will raise my eyes and look down that corridor, 4 feet wide, and with 10 lonely seconds to justify my whole existence. That's what it feels like to, I can't stop. I have to justify myself. I have to find approval. I have to make it in life. But Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. So we go to Jesus first. And if and only if we go to Jesus, then can we think about practicing Sabbath, which I want to share for a few minutes. Can I get practical for a few minutes? How do we practice Sabbath rest? Once we have Christ, we can do a few things. Firstly, Sabbath is not a day off. Amen? They're two very different things. Because when I think of rest, what I think of immediately, unsanctified brain, is vegging on the sofa. Yeah, that's what I think of. I think Sabbath rest, I think slumping onto the sofa, putting on Netflix and eating Doritos and just like melting into the sofa. That might be good day off activity. It might not be. But that's not Sabbath. Sabbath is very different to day off. A Sabbath is not a day where we just give in to our baseline kind of desires and wants. And because if you go into a day thoughtlessly, you will end up just fidgeting, doing all sorts of bits and pieces that may be fine, but may not be Sabbath. Like I want to suggest, and I'm just dropping wisdom here. I'm not dropping law. I'm just dropping wisdom if you want to pick it up. I want to suggest that a Sabbath day is not the day to walk around Westfield and go shopping, for example. Like, well, it's not technically work, but it is actually revving your heart up out of contentment into thinking about all these new things. And like, going to Westfield's not wrong. But do you know what I mean? If you walk, I struggle with walking around Sheffield. Probably that as well. Sorry, Matt. Oh dear. Westfield, like as I've said before, not because I don't want to go shopping, because I want all of the stuff. You know, like I want the stuff that's there and I can't have it and I struggle with it because it's taking me out of contentment. Sabbath is finding rest in the knowledge of God. So it's finding those. So don't think Sabbath and day off. There's take a day off maybe. But that's not Sabbath. Sabbath is about resting so that we can join in the enjoyment of God and the presence of God and know Him. Amen. The second thing is this. Deliberately detach from work. Deliberately detach. That's going to look different for all of us. But I think the whole COVID working from home thing, and I think there's a general feeling out there as well that working from home has not actually helped us find the rest that we actually want down here. We thought it would. You save 20 minutes on a commute, you do all that kind of stuff. That feels good. What's actually happened is that life and work and everything has got molded into one, and so we never feel like we actually extricate ourselves from work. We have to find ways of deliberately detaching from work. Whatever it is, powering down the laptop, turning off your phone, clearing your desk, whatever it is for you. On a Thursday night, normally Friday is our Sabbath day. On a Thursday night, at some point, I turn off my phone. And I still can't believe I'm turning it off. You ever had that feeling? Like, it feels slightly naughty to do that. Like, I can't. I even tell Tura, I turn my phone off. I for about 5 minutes, have this like weird giddy feeling of like, it's off. But what happens is, as I power down my phone, I do know over the next hour, it does something in my heart of like, my heart starts to like, and I'm like, oh. One Jewish rabbi talked about Sabbath as a way of creating in time like a temple for us. Like we might go to a space temple. He said, but create a temple out of your time. Create walls with that space. So there is this sacred moment where you rest with God. So find your ways of deliberately detaching from work. Amen. All right, be present. Tori and I realized a few years ago that even on our Sabbath days, we wouldn't like be working technically, but we would still be using those days over coffee to talk about our plans. So we'd be talking about things we'd like to do in the house, because you're sat in the house and there's all these things and jobs that need to be done. And you think, oh, it'd be great to have that, or what colour this, and what are we going to do this, where's going to go there, and how's this going to work, and holidays, oh, should we do this, what should we do about that, or kids' schools, what are we going to do about this? And so it's not work, we were having a coffee, if you looked at us, like they're resting, but our conversation was still thinking about the future. We weren't being present, we were thinking and planning and doing for the future. And we realized, actually, we're not resting here. We are still thinking about, And so what we did, we made this like agreement with each other, is that we would stop talking about anything into the future. And what we found is, once we like took work out of the picture and we took the future out of the picture, and it was just us, we had remarkably little to talk about. And I'm not saying that in a negative. I'm saying, oh my goodness, how much do we live in the future? We're just constantly making future plans, and not just, it slowed us right down, quietened us. We read a little bit more. We just were. So think about, what does it mean for you to be presence? God says 6 days be doing stuff, and one day just be present there where you are, not thinking, planning, talking. Don't rev your heart up. Next point, choose and practice thankfulness. Amen. Because I think especially in a place like London, we are so used to problem solving, critiquing, working out what needs fixing, efficiency, flow charts, diagrams, etc., plans. We've got to think about what needs to be worked on. And you think, what, a day of space? Like, this is great. Like, get my laptop out. I can think about all the things that I need to get on with, and a bit of, like, no, that's work. And it leads to a critiquing and a thinking about what you don't have and what isn't happening and what isn't there. A Sabbath day is a day where we dethrone ourselves and we enthrone God, and the best way to do that is to give thanks. I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for all that I have. You might still have lack, but I thank you for what I have. Thank you for your provision in my life. Thank you for my family, for my friends, for where I am, for what I have. And we choose thankfulness, and in that way we enthrone him as the Lord of the Sabbath, and we find rest and contentment. Amen. Amen. Organize your whole week. I catch myself sometimes fantasizing about an eighth day in the week. Does anyone ever like, I do it, like, subconsciously I think, wouldn't it be great sometimes to have a day you didn't have, like, there's no constraints and nothing, you could just fit stuff in and do it on that day, as though that would be the solution, right? You know what would happen if you got given an eighth day? You'd fill that up as well. We have got a day. It's already been given to us within 7 days. And so for us to get to Sabbath and think, wow, no, I need to be picking these things up, we are essentially saying to God, we disagree with the way that you've organized life. We think there should have been 7.5 days, and if you work that out, I could have got this extra job done, but, like, I got to do it now because you didn't organize, like, you know. That's what we're saying. We don't say it out loud, but our hearts say it, you know what I mean? It's interesting, because when God tells us in Exodus 20 about Sabbath, the law isn't actually just about Sabbath. He does tell us how to organize our whole week. He says, 6 days you shall work. So be busy working on 6 days. Be about it. Work hard. You might have to work long hours, but work and plan so that you can keep this day set apart. You can rest and know me and my presence. So we need to organize and plan ahead. And what are we going to do? And what's going to be left undone? Like, it got mentioned a few weeks back, like the students who are taking exams right now. But where are they now? You're here. Right, that's a deliberate way of saying there is a Lord over my life, a Lord of Sabbath who gives me rest. I've got an exam tomorrow, but I'm going to be with God's people worshipping, Sabbath resting, because my life is organized around God's way, not my way. Amen. So think about your whole week. Here's a trickier one. Listen to what is revealed on your Sabbath days. Listen to your heart. One of the reasons I look back that I never really stopped was, honestly, when I did stop, I didn't like the feelings that I had in my heart. When I did leave, like, the emails, and, you know, for me it was like listening to sermons and stuff, so I could justify it, right? It's Christian stuff. But the reason why I didn't just lay all that aside when I look back, sadly, is I didn't like how I felt when I stopped. I sensed a little lack of meaning. I sensed a kind of anxiety. I sensed sometimes a kind of low-level depression. And so what did I do? I thought, well, I'll just stay busy. If I keep working, I just mask all of that stuff up. And you can do that. Just stay busy. Keep fidgeting through life. Keep working. Never stop. Never rest. Because if you do rest, it's scary, right, to find out what's actually going on underneath. So if you do have moments when you stop and you find yourself like with uncontrollable anxiety or uncontrollable lust or a depression or this gnawing lack of meaning or significance in your life, don't mask that with more work. They are red warning signs on the dashboard of your heart saying you need to pay attention to what's happening deep down in your heart. You need to listen to that and share it with someone and get help. Because that's partly why Sabbath is gifted to us, to understand and to know ourselves, understand what is stopping me from knowing the Lord and getting into this place of rest. Like this temple out of our time actually creates an awareness that we can enter into the rest. It's a discipline that helps me understand and grow and move into Jesus. So listen to what's happening deep down in your own heart. Prioritize, and then I've got one more, prioritize Sundays. It's interesting, the early church, they moved very quickly from a Saturday Sabbath to a Sunday Sabbath because Jesus Christ was raised on Sunday. And so it felt very natural for them to move to a Sunday. And as elders, we've had a kind of bit of a discussion about how does Sabbath really work? And I think Jackie articulated it so well that we have to work it out in our own context. And for them in the early church, most of them were working through the day and they had to do church in the evening, but they took that as their day for Sabbath because they were engaging with God's people on that day in corporate worship. Why? Because it's when we gather one another that Jesus promises, I will be with you in the midst of, while we gather and take the Lord's Supper, we hear preaching, we lift up with worship and truth and gospel, because in that Christ is with us. If you're an introvert, you think, no, this isn't rest. Look at all the people in the room with me. I need a room by myself. It's not about introvert, extrovert. It's about being with God and his presence and his people. This is Sabbath, which means for most of us, and I say most of us, Sunday is the best day to have a Sabbath day. And we've had, even on the way in, Tori had a text saying like there's a party for Kiki, and all the kids' parties are always on a Sunday. And she's missed out on so many. But for us as a family, we're just working it out. Like for us, Sunday is just a day when we're with God's people. And so we have to sacrifice something. So think about sports and holidays and travel and all the other things. Work 6 days, rest a day. Amen. Amen. Can I get the band back up? And I want to make my final point. We're about to break bread. And the final point is this. On a Sabbath day, it's great to eat with your brothers and sisters. It's a day for feasting. It's a day for eating. Matt recently said, and I really appreciated what he said, is I keep Sundays free from plans because I don't know what's going to happen after church and I want to be available. And I thought, I love that posture. Just saying like this day is given over to God and his people. I don't know whether they're going to do lunch or not or when it's going to finish. So it's just free to eat and have lunch and be together. Because we know that when the final Sabbath rest comes, when we're with the Lord finally, what's the first thing we're going to do? We're going to sit down and enjoy the wedding supper of the Lamb. And so in a moment like now where Claire is going to lead us into the Lord's Supper, we are anticipating that rest. Amen?